With Montana News, I'm Jacqueline Sussman. The American Civil Liberties Union of Montana says a Montana senator violated his constituents' First Amendment rights when he blocked them on Twitter. The ACLU wrote a letter to Republican Senator Steve Daines today, arguing that blocking or censoring constituents on social media violates First Amendment rights to free expression and the right to petition government officials. Here's ACLU of Montana attorney Elizabeth Arrett.
That means that an individual can't comment on different things that are said by that senator on their account and can't tell the senator what they think about what they're doing, can't give comments on what they think that the senator should be doing. So it does prevent them from being able to speak out about the senator's work on their behalf.
Senator Daines said in a statement that people have a right to express dissenting opinions and have their voices heard, but vulgar and profane comments sometimes cross a line. The Kalispell Public School Board voted against a proposal last night to lease a space on top of a local high school for a new cell phone tower. The board voted 7-1 to drop a consideration of a contract that would have allowed Verizon Wireless to lease rooftop space on Flathead High School for a little more than $20,000 a year for up to 25 years. Opposition to the cell tower gained momentum in recent weeks. Local residents voiced concern about potential health impacts to students, teachers, and neighbors. Environmental groups challenged the Trump administration in federal court today over its rejection of an Obama-era proposal that would have required mining companies to prove they have enough money to clean up their pollution. The rule was intended to stop companies from abandoning mine sites without cleaning up their pollution, a long-standing problem in the industry. The mining industry says it will intervene on behalf of the Trump administration in the lawsuit. National Mining Association Vice President Ashley Burke says the proposed rule would have placed an unnecessary financial burden on companies. Burke says modern mining practices and regulations already in place sufficiently address pollution from extracting hard rock minerals like copper and gold. Montana wildlife officials have captured a sub-adult male grizzly near McGregor Lake, west of Marion, in a culvert trap after it had been spotted frequenting residential areas. Dylan Tabish is the Region 1 Information and Education Program Manager for Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks.
I think it's a great reminder for residents that western Montana is bear country, and right now the bears are active, and if we can reduce food attractants and prevent conflicts, everyone is better off for it, including the bears.
This capture is of particular interest to Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks because it occurred outside of 6 established grizzly recovery areas, meaning grizzlies are expanding their territory. Though it's not the first times that bears have moved through the area, Tabish says it's one of the first times that the agency has had to take management action there. The Great Falls Tribune reports that the bear captured last month was 3 years old and weighed 246 pounds. After it was captured, it was fitted with a GPS radio collar and relocated to the Big Creek drainage on the west side of Lake Coconusa in the Kootenai National Forest. Crews have removed about 1,435 tons of soil that became contaminated by an oil spill on the Fort Peck Reservation. The Billings Gazette reports that the spill was discovered on April 27th. More than 50 large dump trucks full of soil have been removed from the site so far, with more to come. The Environmental Protection Agency is overseeing the cleanup for the reservation. The well that the spill came from had been shut down and was last inspected in December. It is believed that the wellhead froze and cracked over in the winter. The crack leaked an estimated 90,000 barrels of brine with 600 barrels of crude oil. The spill was discovered by a rancher flying his plane over the remote area. Montana Governor Steve Bullock says the state is awarding a $1 million grant to help the community of Coal Strip as the demand for coal decreases worldwide. Yellowstone Public Radio's Steve Shadley reports.
Bullock's office says the $1 million comes to Montana from a federal power grant award. In a written statement, the governor says the funds will help Coal Strip with workforce planning and worker training to ensure a smooth transition if and when the coal-fired power plant there closes or downsizes operations. The Montana Department of Labor and Industry applied for the grant in response to the decline in coal mining employment. Bullock's office says $200,000 will go to Dawson Community College. The Montana AFL-CIO will receive more than $292,000, and Miles Community College and Chief Dolknife College will share almost $495,000 for labor transition programs. The funds cover workforce training for Coal Strip and other communities in eastern Montana affected by coal-related layoffs, including the Northern Cheyenne, Crow, and Fort Peck and Sioux reservations. The dollars will go directly towards training more than 1,100 workers in 23 eastern and south central Montana counties for new jobs.
With Montana News, I'm Rosie Costin. A probationer wanted for questioning in the death of an Anaconda woman was taken into custody near Butte today, but not before he crashed a car, an officer fired shots at him, and another officer shocked him with a stun gun. 51-year-old Troy Douglas Johnson was apprehended today, hours after 64-year-old Shelley Schaefer was found dead of a head injury. A friend asked Anaconda police to check on Schaefer early yesterday afternoon. She was found dead. Her car, some jewelry, cash, and credit cards were missing. Officers were looking for Johnson because his driver's license was found in an apartment near Schaefer's residence. Johnson was spotted in Butte at about 3 this morning. After a brief pursuit, he crashed his vehicle and fled. Butte Silver Bow officials say officers apprehended him. Department of Corrections officials say Johnson was released from prison in February 2017 after serving time for a partner or family member assault. Federal officials are being asked to investigate whether a financially troubled coal company has posted sufficient bonds to cover reclamation work at its mines in the U.S. and Canada. The Western Organization of Resource Councils is concerned that a bankruptcy by Westmoreland Coal could leave taxpayers to cover reclamation costs. The Colorado company says it has posted $673 million in reclamation bonds and letters of credit and is in full compliance with mining regulations. Yellowstone National Park officials are launching a new bison quarantine program aimed at establishing new, disease-free herds on public and tribal lands. Yellowstone spokeswoman Morgan Worthen says the program will help conservation and reduce the number of bison shipped to slaughter because of overpopulation in the park. More than 550 bison were culled earlier this year to limit the herd size. National Park Service officials green-lighted the program yesterday that will test captured bison for the disease brucellosis, which causes animals to abort their young. The testing will be conducted in Yellowstone and on the Fort Peck Indian Reservation in northeastern Montana. When the bison are determined to be disease-free, they will be released on suitable public and tribal lands, according to the decision. Worthen says there are 91 bison being held in Yellowstone facilities that would be tested in the program's first phase. The Gallatin County Attorney's Office has filed a motion seeking to charge a 13-year-old boy with felony negligent homicide in the August 2016 shooting death of a 9-year-old boy at a residence in Belgrade. The Bozeman Daily Chronicle reports the judge has not ruled on the motion to file the charge in juvenile court. An affidavit states the boy gave inconsistent stories about how the victim was shot and that other boys told investigators the suspect had pointed a gun at them the day before the fatal shooting. A neighbor also reported the suspected shooter had shot one of her sons with a pellet gun in June 2016. I'm Rosie Costin, Montana Public Radio.